Thomas, Cassandra, Michael, Aaron, and Crystal, please join me on the stage. Don't forget your props. Okay, we've got a story for you guys tonight. You guys like stories? Let's get these guys lined up. No, you can be up here. That's the what? Okay. All right. Tom, we've got a story for you guys tonight. If you like stories, I hope you like stories. I like stories. Tis the season for stories. And these guys are going to act it out. So let's give our actors a big hand. Over here we have Eli, the prophet. Hannah, the barren woman. Elkanah, the man with two wives. And Peninnah, the non-barren woman. And here is our narrator, Tom. So listen up, this is going to be a good story. No, she is. She's barren. All right, here we go.
There once was a man whose name was Elkanah. He had two wives. Oh my. The first was Hannah, the second was Peninnah.
I'm already kind of confused. I think that the wives need to be equally yoked to their husband. So I'm kind of putting you guys on the spot here. I know. Is that making you all guys? Okay, continue. I'm sorry.
So he had two wives. And Peninnah had children. Hannah did not.
Matthew? See, I'm kind of confused about this because I don't see how these two can be having children and these two not when these guys don't even want to, like, touch each other. And I'm just very confused here. I'm having a hard time visualizing this in my mind. Okay, sorry.
All right. Every year, this man went from his hometown up to Shiloh to worship and offer a sacrifice to God. When Elkanah sacrificed, he passed helpings from the sacrificial meal around to his wife Peninnah and all her children. But he always gave an especially generous helping to Hannah because he loved her so much, and because God had not given her children. But her rival wife taunted her cruelly, rubbing it in and never letting her forget that God had not given her children. This went on year after year after year after year. After a year. Every time she went to the sanctuary of God, she could not expect to be taunted. Hannah was reduced to tears and had no appetite. No. Her husband Elkanah said, "Oh, Hannah, why are you crying? Why aren't you eating? And why are you so upset? Am I not of more worth to you than 10 sons? Look at that." So Hannah ate. Hannah ate and Hannah ate. Then she pulled herself together, slipped away quietly, and entered the sanctuary. The priest Eli was on duty at the entrance to God's temple in the customary seat. Crushed in soul, Hannah prayed to God and cried and cried. Then she made a vow. "Oh God, if you'll take a good hard look at my pain, if you'll quit neglecting me and go into action for me by giving me a son, I'll give him completely, unreservedly to you and set him apart for a life of holy, holy discipline." It so happened that as she continued in prayer before God, Eli was watching her closely. Hannah was praying in her heart, silently. Her lips moved, but no sound was heard. Eli jumped to the conclusion that she was drunk. He approached her and said, "You're drunk! How long do you plan to keep this up? Sober up, woman!" Hannah said, "Oh no, sir, please. I'm a woman hard used. I haven't been drinking, not a drop of wine or beer. The only thing I've been pouring out is my heart, pouring it out to God. Don't for a minute think I'm a bad woman. It's because I'm so desperately unhappy and in such pain that I've stayed here so long. Eli answered her, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel give you what you have asked of him. Think well of me and pray for me," she said, and sent her away. Then she ate heartily with her face radiant.
All right, thank you, drama team. That guys did a great job. I think they deserve a better hand than that. I mean, come on. Now, the story goes on to say that God granted Hannah her wish, and she had a son, and his name was Samuel. Yes. And when Samuel was 2 years old, Hannah brought Samuel to the temple, and he lived there all his life, and Eli raised him. And when Samuel grew up, Samuel's the man who anointed Saul to be king, the first king of Israel. Samuel's also the one who anointed David to be king. I guess he was the second king. No, I don't know. Anyway, so Samuel played a big role in the development of the Israel nation. Now, why did I read you this story? Anybody have any clue what in the world I might be talking about tonight? Sacrifice? No. Good try. Anybody? Christmas. Ah, no, not Christmas. If Melody would join me on the stage, please. Everybody give Melody a big hand. Now, what did you talk about last week?
Consecration.
Consecration. And what is consecration?
It is to devote yourself and dedicate yourself or something completely to the Lord, to be set apart for his use.
And what happens when you consecrate something?
It's holy and set apart for the Lord to use however he wants to use it, to bring holiness and spiritual blessing.
So when you consecrate something, you receive blessing?
The Lord, well, it is a blessing because it's a spiritual blessing. However, God uses that, it is a blessing. So yes, yes.
So was Hannah blessed when she consecrated her unborn child to the Lord?
She was, and she actually went on to have a lot of more children. So.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. Thank you, Melody. So last Wednesday, I know we were kind of small because of Thanksgiving and all that, but Melody brought a great red hot fiery word from the Lord about consecration. And so I'm going to kind of be taking that and building on it tonight. But I wanted to read you this story from 1 Samuel. And so when Hannah consecrated Samuel to the Lord, when she said, "I will give you my son," the Lord blessed her. The Lord blessed that act of consecration. And the definition of consecration is, as Melody said, it's to dedicate something to a divine purpose, to declare it sacred or to set it apart for the Lord's use. So tonight what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you three areas of your life that you can consecrate. So last week Melody talked to us about consecrating our whole lives to the Lord, giving ourselves wholly to the Lord. Now I'm going to kind of break it down a little bit and show you three areas of your life that you can consecrate to the Lord and how you can do that. So if we could get the first one up here. Which area do you think this might be? Your time. I think of the three I'm going to be doing tonight, that this is the most important. Number one, enumero dos, as I've been taught to say at Las Palapas. But time is number one. So I want to ask you guys, how much time a day do you spend with the Lord? How much time per day? Do you spend an hour with the Lord every day? Anybody spend an hour with the Lord every day? Please stand up. I'd like to give you a big hand. How about 20 minutes? Anybody spend 20 minutes a day with the Lord? Hey, that's great. I didn't ask you to stand up, but anyway, hey, that's awesome. Anybody spend 5 minutes a day with the Lord? You set aside 5 minutes a day. All right, that's great. Yeah, we're starting to incorporate a couple more people as we go down the scale. Now, how many minutes are in a day? You take 24 hours a day, and you multiply that by 60 minutes in an hour, and you get 1,440 minutes. So that's, we have 1,440 minutes per day that we could spend with the Lord. Now, some of you might say, well, I sleep 8 hours a night. So for you, I'm going to subtract 8 hours, and that's going to give you 960 minutes per day that we are usually awake. I know, I seriously doubt anybody in here sleeps 8 hours every night. So I'm being generous here when I give you 960 minutes per day, okay, that we can spend with the Lord. Now, I think if a lot of us spent 15 minutes a day in prayer and Bible study, every day we would be raising our level. We would be kicking it up a notch. I know I would. If I spent 15 minutes every day with the Lord, I'd be like doing more than I do now. Anybody else in that boat? Am I the only one? Everybody else spending more than 15 minutes a day? But if we did that, if you only spent 15 minutes a day, you would still be giving only 1% of your time to the Lord. When I did the math, I was kind of blown away by that. At 960 minutes, you're only giving 1.5% of your time per day to the Lord. That's pretty small. That's pretty insignificant for us who call ourselves Christians and, you know, Bible-believing and walk with the Lord, right? I thought that was kind of small. But what I want to challenge you guys tonight to do is to start small. You know, start with 15 minutes a day. That's only 1.5% of your time. Who thinks they can do that? Give 1.5% of their time to the Lord on a daily basis. Amen. That's awesome. So here's a little tip that I'm going to give you. And this goes into the set apart category, into the consecrate category. You need to take the same 15 minutes every day and set it apart. Maybe it's 7 a.m. to 7:15 a.m. Maybe it's 11:45 p.m. to 12 a.m. But what you need to do is you need to set it apart every day. You need to make a commitment. Maybe it's 15 minutes at lunch where you go into the bathroom at school and pray and read your Bible in the stall. You know, I don't know, whatever you want to do. Is that weird? Would that be weird? I don't. You guys never read your Bible in the stall? Yeah. So take the same 15 minutes and set it apart, consecrate it. Because when you consecrate something, when you set it apart, when you make it holy, as we see in Hannah's story, the Lord blesses that action. Okay, so that's number one is time. Number two, can you guess what number two might be? That's kind of good. Here, I'll give you a hint. Money, ooh, money. That's a dirty word in church sometimes, the M word. Mammon, money. Yeah, people don't like to talk about money, especially in church, and I don't either. But when I was raised, the way my parents raised me was that when the Lord blesses us, we need to in return bless him. And so I'm going to read you three verses that have to do with this. The first one is in Luke 6:38, and it reads, "Give, and it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over." The second one is Proverbs 3:9-10. It says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine." The third one is 2 Corinthians 9:6. It says, "He who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully." These verses are pretty self-explanatory, but we can see here that when we give, we're blessed. It's a biblical principle that when you give, in return, you will be blessed. Melody showed us last week that when you consecrate something, and it's also in this Hannah story, when you consecrate something, a blessing also comes with that. So there's two different biblical principles here going on that talks about when we give, it will be given back to us. Now there's another verse in Malachi that says to bring all your tithes into the storehouse. And I think, for me personally, my own personal convictions, and I'm not trying to push that on you, but what I believe is that the best way to consecrate an area of our money is through tithing. And so what I did when I was, I don't know, ever since I was probably about 12 or 13, I never got any money except for when I maybe a birthday or Christmas. I would still take that 10% and I would set it apart to the Lord. Now, and I've absolutely seen how the Lord has just, you know, blessed me and blessed me and blessed me, and I've never had a need that the Lord didn't supply for, and I thank him for that. But now I got online, I don't know, about a year ago, and I just keyed it into my bank, you know, every week, X amount, blah, 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 and it sends a check. So I've consecrated that. I've set it apart. I never see it. It comes to me, and it goes straight to the Lord. It's been totally set apart and dedicated to him and his purposes. And with that, I've received just enormous blessings from God. So I want to encourage you guys to start small. Maybe you get like $5 a week. I don't know. Give, what would that be, 50 cents? Give 50 cents to a missionary a week. You know, start small. A brand new missionary couple is just going out of our church, Casey and Brianna Carey. And they're trying to get, you know, their support going and stuff. Man, you could give them $5 a month, and that would just like exceedingly bless them. But when you consecrate that and you set it aside for the Lord's use, he will bless you. The third area, can you guess what the third area is? That's, yeah, there we go, relationships. Now, how can we consecrate our relationships to the Lord? You could do like I've done and taken a vow of celibacy. It's a joke. Nobody even knows what that is. God. How can we consecrate our relationships? Anybody have any ideas? Setting standards. I think that's good. Setting boundaries. I was hoping you guys would have some ideas because that's all. I don't have any either. How do we set our relationships apart for the Lord's use? Purity? It's good. It's a good call. Should have thought of that. No, I'm going to read you a verse out of Matthew 5:8, and I'm sure if you've been here for more than a year, you've probably heard me read this verse a lot. But it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Okay? Now, in relationships, we give our hearts, right? We give our hearts away. Now, if our hearts are pure, when I was in youth group, when I was 15, 16, 17, I didn't really have a pure heart. I was saved. I grew up in church all my life. But I wouldn't say I had a really pure heart. And I definitely didn't have a pure heart in my motives toward the lady folk, if you know what I'm saying. Got any ladies in the house? Yeah. Okay. Whatever. Is this uncomfortable for you guys? Everybody's like looking down. No, but I didn't have pure motives. My heart wasn't pure towards the people that I would get into relationships with. I would go in with the idea of what can this person give me? What can I receive from this person? How is being with this person going to make me look good? How's it going to make me feel good? You know, all those things. And that's not a pure heart. Those aren't pure motives. Those are contrary to what God has for people. And so in your relationships, not just guy-girl relationships, in your guy, well, in your friendships, yeah, sorry. Yeah, you know, in all your relationships, be there with your friends, with your boyfriend, girlfriend, even your spouse, you know, a lot of times we're selfish people, and it's like, what can I get from this person? How can this person meet my needs? But, you know, that's not Jesus' heart, and Jesus' heart is, how can I give to this person? How can I bless this person? And I think that if we really have that heart, especially to like our girlfriend or boyfriend, we won't be pressuring them to do things that they might not want to do, which might involve taking clothes off. I don't know, but whatever. We won't be doing those things if we have. Gosh, you guys are like really like freaking out. Over the top. Why is that over the top? You guys never heard of like people taking off their clothes? Yeah, it happens, folks. But if you have the right heart and you're pure in your motives towards people, you're not going to be pressuring them to do those things. And you're not going to be receiving pressure from somebody if they have the right motives towards you. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I could have been more explicit. Is anybody in here not getting it? Yeah, okay, I didn't think so. So these are the three areas of our lives that we can set apart, that we can consecrate to the Lord. And when we do that, we will receive blessing from the Lord. He will prosper us in these areas. How many of you want to have blessings in your relationships? Yes. Yes. How many of you want to have blessings? A lot of us, you aren't like bringing in big bucks right now, and that's fine. But the point is to start where you're at, to build a habit, to build a ritual of blessing the Lord. And the third area was time. I think that any of you ever have hard time getting everything done in the day that you need to do, and you're always staying up late to finish, and you're always worn out? I believe that when you spend, and I've proven this in my own life, that when you set aside a section of your day and you give that time to the Lord, that He'll bless the rest of your time, that He'll make you super productive and all of that. So think about it right now. Everybody, close your eyes, bow your head. You don't have to bow your head, just close your eyes. Actually, you don't have to close your eyes, you just have to think. Okay, so think about what 15 minutes every day that you're going to consecrate to the Lord. I'm going to do 11:45 to 12 a.m. That's just going to work best for me. I could try and do 7 a.m. to something, but yeah, not going to happen. Be realistic. Don't set yourself up to fail. Don't be like, oh, I'm going to get up at 4 a.m. and I'm going to pray for an hour every day. If you can't do that, you can try and do that, but don't set yourself up to fail. Pick something that you know you can achieve. Maybe it's the first 15 minutes of quiet time every day, you know? There you go. I mean, that'll work. If anybody gives you trouble, just tell them to come see me, and I'll set them straight, all right? But think about it. What 15 minutes? All right? Lord Jesus, I pray you just bring these 15 minutes to our reminder every day. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, I pray you would tug our hearts and help us to accomplish this. I thank you for doing that. Lord, also show us and teach us and help us to consecrate our money and our relationships to you. And Lord, we just want to thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Use us to bless other people. God, help us not to be so selfish and always thinking about ourselves. Lord, help us to lend a helping hand to people this season as they might need it. And in Jesus' name, amen. You guys are awesome. Be blessed. And we'll see you Sunday.